You are about to participate in the most ambitious culinary experiment ever imagined.
This competition is going to test everything.
Adapt quickly to anything. I mean anything. The wildest day of your life starts right now.
All new 24 and 24 Last Chef Standing. Sunday night at 8 on Food Network. Stream on Max.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, well, we're back to talk about our marriage. It's going to be a rip-roaring good time, everybody. Sorry we missed one of these, but we did it as soon as we could.
We didn't miss one.
We didn't miss one. I know. I have all this guilt about it.
I know. Nobody
all
cares.
All this guilt. No one wants to listen to this.
I feel like just say we're probably going to release them once every 4 weeks. And then we do it twice every 4 weeks, people feel like they're getting a treat.
See, that's one of the things I'm going to do for my next relationship is really set the expectations
low. You
got to
set the expectations low. Then
very low.
You meet them. You met them.
Right.
You exceed them. You have exceeded them.
You're blowing it out of the water.
It's my. It's basically my approach to everything. Work. Relationships.
Right. Parenting. The whole thing.
The whole kit and caboodle.
All right. I got to make sure I can take my notes for our funny clips.
Why don't you take some life notes? There's life note number one. Set a low bar.
We really are helping people with this podcast. Everybody out there, set a low bar. Use us as the low bar if you want. All right. So we have some shout outs before. Oh, so refreshing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. We do have shout
outs. All right. Shout some folks out.
Do you want to shout out our anonymous listeners first?
Yes, I do want to shout out our anonymous listeners. So our unnamed listeners, we know who they are, but they will remain unnamed for the general public.
Uh-huh.
Do you want to shout them out? You want to handle
this
one?
I'm going to let you
go. All right.
Go ahead,
we want to shout out our two anonymous listeners who ended up boning during one of the episodes
Apparently,
of Separation Anxiety.
Our separation podcast has some listeners feeling some kind of way.
Feeling very amorous. Nothing gets those juices going like listening to these two people talk about their failed marriage.
I've often felt that way.
Right. Well, and
it's just a real aphrodisiac.
Oh, it's
oysters,
so hot.
Pheromones and our separation podcast.
Our separation podcast. I have never ever felt that my voice has inspired anyone to want to have sex, including you.
I was going to say maybe most especially me.
So I'm glad to know that it worked for somebody out there.
That's good to know, right? I feel like you could take that information and really run with it.
I don't know. This might have been a very specific situation.
It's a one-off.
But listeners, if you also end up doing it to our podcast, please let us know.
We'll
withhold your names, but we want to know that we're out there. Someone should be getting laid because of this. It's
also
not us, but
please let us know if after that happens you get pregnant, because we'd like to claim that child.
Not like in any guardianship way, just like that we're responsible. So like Kenny G being responsible for making so many babies with his sweet, sweet sax.
No, I was thinking like David Bowie, like I'm gonna steal that baby.
Oh no, you can, that can be you. That's all you if you're gonna steal that baby.
Nope, we're only separated.
Oh, we'll get divorced real quick if you're taking on new babies.
Well, careful, because speaking of, one of our other shout outs goes to Kathy. Let me pull her up. Mm-hmm. Give me a second, Kathy.
Good old Kathy.
She, oh yeah, here we go. Kathy, she recommended a dating app to us.
Oh, okay.
Called Stir. It's meant for parents.
Oh, great.
Kathy, I'm actively avoiding other parents in my dating quest.
Man, parents are a real buzzkill.
I don't even like my own children that much, so I certainly don't expect to like anyone else's.
Man, parents can never get together. They're always busy,
always
complaining.
Where's the app that's all like 75-year-old billionaires that are approaching
sugardaddy.com. Yeah. I mean, I think that actually does exist. So you might want to make yourself a profile on there.
Probably going to check it out.
Yeah.
She says that she loves our dynamic and she's happy that we are continuing to suffer for the listeners and that we are a modern day Joan of Arc. I love it.
Are we a modern day Joan of Arc in that we're both going to be burned alive?
Maybe.
Okay. I mean, is she threatening to burn us alive?
I think she's saying
that's
that
how I read it. We're martyrs saintly. For the cause. Oh, we're saintly.
Was Joan of Arc a saint?
I believe so. Okay. I believe she was a saint. Yeah, and we are certainly saints. Neither of us are Catholic, but I assume the Catholic Church is going to make us
it's
saints.
It's coming. In the same way that I'm pretty sure I'm going to get knighted.
Just waiting around for that call.
Just like that guy. Side story. We went to graduate school with a gentleman.
A gentleman. Another unnamed gentleman.
We found his, life, what do you want to call it?
Life goals list that he wrote in like high school, right?
Oh, no, I'm pretty sure he wrote it like that week.
Oh, he had written it that week.
It was current.
Okay, it was current.
Because one of the things was that he was going to be knighted.
Yes, and that he was going to win two different Nobel Prizes. One for peace, one for literature. Because one's not enough.
That's the opposite of what I'm telling everyone to do.
Also, checking in, I do not believe that any of these... I don't want to reveal this person's identity, but they are not a Nobel Prize winner.
I know they haven't been knighted.
Yes, they have not been knighted. They have not won the Nobel Prize in any capacity, let alone two.
But it's still early.
It's until they're dead. They've got the... Yeah, we can't write them off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Shelbell sent us a really nice message saying that she relates a lot to the separation podcast.
Oh, that's nice.
She's married with kids and she relates to our fights and hilarious anecdotes.
We are hilarious.
This divorce is a hoot. She says that she hopes that we continue to podcast, even though she would never want either of us to feel unhappy. Aw, thank you.
Oh, I mean, we were unhappy, so...
Yeah, we're much happier now.
This is actually really helping.
This is, as we've said before, this is the best the podcast has ever been.
Oh, yeah, this has been the most we've enjoyed it. Because we can just go back to our separate homes when we're done.
She says that we are amazingly real and our sense of humor is perfection. And she's sorry if she's being too sappy, but not sorry because we're her kind of people. Oh, Shelbell, you're our kind of people.
Oh, actually, Shelbell, you're not being sappy enough. I could have taken some more compliments.
Also, Shelbell lives in Hawaii. And we want to come stay with you, please.
We're coming out. Yeah, so what, 3-4 weeks, we'll do live recordings from your home.
Yeah.
You can be on the show.
No big deal. We can go...
NBD.
Going snorkeling.
You're going snorkeling.
Also, Shelbell, we came here to murder you.
Came here to murder you.
There's one more. Let's see. We got Shelbell. We got Kathy. We've got our anonymous bangers. And
all bangers all the time.
All bangers all the time.
All bangers all the time.
And then we have Law Rush.
Okay.
Who says that she's been very impressed with how we are dealing with the podcast, with the relationships. She says she appreciates our vulnerability and bravery. She's also a huge VPR fan.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no. For some of us who don't know.
Yeah. Law Rush, I like to think of us as a Tom and Katie. They've been married. They recently announced their divorce. It will play out on the most
on the
recent
show.
Season.
Okay.
But their separation announcement, divorce announcement, I feel like had very similar notes to us.
Okay.
They said that they still love each other, that they still are spending a ton of time together.
Right. We almost like each other better now.
They're still working together.
It is us.
It is
yeah,
us.
We're a real Tom and Katie. I thought you meant Tom Cruise and Katie Holmes. And I was like, no, that's not. That's not what we're doing at all.
It might be. Is now a good time to tell you I'm dabbling in Scientology?
Well, I would like to jump on a couch right now.
I've seen you behave this way before.
I know.
Have you ever felt this way before?
Okay, I think those are all of our Instagram shout-outs. We did get one very special new
very
review.
Important review. So this review, we posted this on Insta, and we're going
to
shout it out again in
I'd
our
like
regular
to,
podcast.
I'd like to read
you
it.
You can read
directly.
It, yes. Okay.
Maybe set to even a little bit of music in
okay,
the background.
Let's put some music in here.
Two Uggos finally divorcing. Listen to two women-hating newly divorcees with so little chemistry, it's a wonder how they lasted this long. Call women uggos and other degrading things. If you see these two on the dating apps, run.
And actually, that should be read, run.
From one Mickey 93.
Good old Mickey, we knew you were out there.
Mickey, you made my week with this review. Number one, because it was targeted at both of us, and right. I felt like the last one was only at me.
Finally, I've earned Mickey's hatred too.
All right, I don't mind if we both are hated. I just need it to be both of us.
Right, you don't want her to be exclusively singling out you.
And as I said in our Instagram post, I'm looking for just a little bit of something that I can count on in right. this ever-changing, ever-shifting landscape
in this topsy-turvy world we live in today.
I
yeah.
know. The one thing I can count on is that Mickey hates me. And they're genuinely...
That's a North Star.
Like, I feel like I got so upset at the last Mickey review. You can attest to that. Yes. Like, we joked about it on the pod, but I actually was very upset by it. This one... just kind of made me smile.
Yeah,
it
just
put a
like
little
some
chuckle
things
in my
never
heart.
Change.
Yeah.
I have to say, too, she got a couple things right. One, it's a wonder how they lasted this long. True, Mickey.
Oh, fuck off.
Also, if you see these two on the dating apps, run. Also true. I think most of the women that I've gone on Hinge dates with would concur with that.
Joke's on you, Mickey, because I'm not on the dating apps.
Joke's on you, because I paused my Hinge profile, Mickey.
I'm not on Stir yet.
That's the parenting
one. And I
one.
Won't be. Yeah, right. So this is for those of our crossover listeners who listen to our Bachelor podcast as well. Ryan has plans to get on there and try to seek out Carly, who is up. I believe that she endorsed this dating app and she is divorced from Evan Bass.
Yeah.
Ryan's going to hop on up to Nashville.
From one boner doctor to another.
There's your opening.
There's my opening there line right there.
I hear you like boner dogs.
I have a doctorate of rhetoric.
Potato, potato. Yeah, we'll get you on that app just as like a little experiment. Almost.
Just see if I can. And specifically, I'm going to put that I'm here for Carly.
Yeah,
and like, nobody else.
Don't even talk That's to me it. If you're not Carly from the Bachelor franchise.
All right, so those are our shout-outs. Thanks mm-hmm. for listening, Miki. We're glad you're out there doing your thing.
You
just
hate
being
us,
you.
But we heart you, Miki.
Yeah, we love you. You know, fuck you, Miki, but also heart you, Miki.
Yeah, you yeah. want to be a thruple?
She does not. All right, so the theme for this separation anxiety episode is less kind of an update on what we're doing, but sort of some reflection. And the prompt we came up with was things we did right during the separation / things we did wrong during the separation / things that surprised us.
Yeah.
During
so
the
we
separation.
Asked each other to both maybe pick out like three or four things of any of those.
Yeah.
And we'll just kind of talk
just
about
roll through it. So it's
we're just going to
riff on it.
Riff.
Yeah.
That's
we're going to riff back and forth, but this,
Chew
I actually,
fat.
I'm looking forward to this because I'm interested in seeing what you put. We didn't talk about this in advance.
We have not discussed it
and
in advance.
And I think this is actually kind of neat. I like this idea of like us hashing this out mm-hmm. at the same time mm-hmm. that we're hashing out for, you know, 700 to 800 people, including Mickey, mm-hmm. who's enjoying our very little chemistry right now. All right. You want me to start or you want to start?
You can start.
Okay. All right. So you will be pleased to know. Maybe it's just like a bias on my part that most of my things that I thought we did right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I did too, actually.
Okay.
I have two things under what surprised me, five things under things we did well, and two things under things we didn't do well. Very self-congratulatory.
Very self-congratulatory. I didn't put any surprises in because I did four things and I thought we were supposed to do 3 to 4 things, but I can come up with some surprises.
Oh, yeah.
But right now.
My number one is just how big other guys' dicks are.
Huge surprise.
Whoa.
Huge. Whoa. Is this what everybody else is dealing with?
Literally a huge surprise. Oh, good. I wasn't sure if that yeah. joke was going to
oh,
play.
Oh, that joke played okay. real well for me. Okay. So the first thing I have.
Moving on.
Yes. Right. Let's never mention it again. I put the first thing that we did right, I thought was the listener will remember this, but we separated in October around Thanksgiving. We decided to give our marriage another go. Mm-hmm. And that lasted until about the end of January.
Mm-hmm.
So a couple of months. And to me, that was definitely the right call, even though it didn't work out.
I agree.
Because I think that if we would have just called it in October, there would have been a lot more like, are we making the wrong decision? Are we making a bad choice? And I think the trial of trying to get back together, short-lived as it was sort of like, oh no, this is not going to work.
Yeah. No, I agree with that. I think that I think actually a lot of our answers are probably going to be similar or tied to other answers. To me, everything felt very hectic and chaotic.
Yes.
And crazy for the early months of fall when we separated. I feel like we didn't know what we were doing. Our emotions were all over the place.
Right.
And I definitely thought that when we came back together at the end of November, like we had spent Thanksgiving together. Mm-hmm. And to me, the thing that I kept coming back to in that time was like, I don't want to do this and have a question in my mind of like, should we have done more? Was this the right thing?
Right.
And I think those questions do still exist for both of us.
Yeah, they're always going to be there at least a little bit, but I feel a lot more confident about the decision in February or whatever than I did in October.
I think the thing that was striking about me too, when we came back together, like we actually were getting along fine. There were some things that happened, but for the most part, I felt like we were doing things right and it still just wasn't working.
Sure, yeah.
And so then I was like, okay, well, there's not this like big driving fight that we're having. Uh-huh. It just like, it didn't feel like the right thing.
Yeah. And I think it also clarified that like, it's not just that we weren't working, but that we also didn't know how to make it work. If that makes sense. Like it wasn't even sort of like, well, if we just did X, Y, and Z, things would be fine.
Yeah.
It was even more intangible than that.
Yes. So. Yeah. And I know, you and I have talked about this before. Like it's really scary, I think, knowing how much to just rely on your gut with these things, because something that I kept saying to you, and I think, you've said it to me too in various ways, is like, it just doesn't feel like the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
And that's hard because that's not something that you like, okay, well, let's make it feel right. You know?
And again, I know there are people who have that feeling and ride it out and it does feel right again. So I'm not even saying that the minute your marriage feels wrong,
no,
you got to get out of it.
Not at all. And in fact, we've had really in-depth conversations this week about, like, I feel like we're both finally being honest about things not feeling right or also actively being difficult for us for a lot longer.
Sure.
I think when the separation first happened in October, it did kind of feel like, well, this is very sudden.
Yeah.
But the more that we've sat with it and the more I think both of us have honestly really been honest with ourselves and how we have felt over the past like 3-4 years.
Right.
And even, going back farther than that, I think some of those feelings were always there. We just did a really good job of ignoring them.
Playing up the good stuff.
Yeah.
And it just did seem like it kind of got to a point where some of those issues were unsustainable.
Yeah.
Or we just didn't know how to work through them or work past them, or maybe we're irreconcilable. I don't know. You know?
Yeah.
We haven't quite figured exactly that out, but I think we are fairly confident that this is the right choice. Also, I think you're probably picking up cartoons in the background from our son, so enjoy that.
Hang on,
Miki, if you don't like the podcast, at least enjoy this episode of Royce Badoyce. All right, what do you got for us?
Something that surprised me.
Okay.
How much it's fucking terrible.
Really? See, that was not a surprise for me at all.
That has, I think, just taken me aback a little, because I think I've always been of the mindset of like, if it's the right thing, it probably isn't that bad. And again, that's not me coming from any experience. I think that was always just my assumption, was like, if you get divorced and you know that it's the right thing to do, yeah, like it'll suck, but like, it's not that bad. It is awful.
Yeah,
like,
it is awful.
It's terrible.
I think that we have always talked about this. We just come from different ends of the spectrum. Like, I thought that this would be so bad that I was like, oh, this
isn't that bad.
Well, it's bad, but it's like, oh, it's an 8 instead of a 10. You know, like, yeah. It's terrible, but it's not horrifically terrible, yeah. I guess.
Like, whereas I think that my mindset was like, it'll be bad, but like, I'll bounce back. It'll, yeah. like, we'll get through it. It'll yeah. be okay in 3 months or 6 months. And like, it is. And I guess, I mean, I'll go ahead and say my second thing that uh-huh. surprised me, because I think they're linked. But I put on here, like, it has surprised me how many good and bad days we have, and how much I don't know what's coming.
Sure.
Like, yeah. We've both said, I feel like we can have 2-3 weeks where we really don't have a terrible day.
Yeah.
And then you'll, like, just, I feel like I'll have a day that completely knocks me on my ass.
Right. And either it'll be a day that knocks you on your ass for no reason, or some giant thing will fall out of the yeah. sky.
Yes.
And be like, oh, here, this is also terrible.
But I think the harder thing for me, those days when something really specific and tangible happens, those are really, really hard. But I think we do a good job at acknowledging, okay, well, this sucks and it's hard, but like, we want to be in each other's lives mm-hmm. and we know we want this kind of relationship moving forward. So like, let's figure out how we're going to do that. We do not always do it gracefully right. or eloquently, but we try to do it. I think those days for me are much harder when I don't really have a reason and I just like, I'm going to start crying now. I just feel like there are days when I'm like, I'm just really sad.
Yeah. No, I know exactly. Because at least when something blows up, you're like, oh, that's why I'm upset. But there are days where it's just like, this sucks.
Yeah. I just hate this.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and it's interesting because, like I said, I agree with you that this is terrible. My surprise, I mean, you remember when we first talked about this and I was like, well, we're not going to do the podcast yeah. anymore. We're going to sell the lake house. Just like this litany of catastrophic things that are going to happen that have not happened yet.
Yeah.
And so I think I was so like, so much catastrophizing. I was like, oh, this is just sort of like normal.
Like
horrible.
Once we moved past yeah. the direct conflicts and into this new space, I think you saw, okay, well,
right, like we can still live our lives and yeah. we can still, like, I just thought this was like, your life is
the
over.
End yeah, yeah
kind of thing, and it has gone better than that, though again, do not recommend.
Definitely yeah. do not recommend. And I feel like I had the opposite approach, where I had all these examples of like, look, this person like divorced and now they're living their best life, like we can trade off weekends and then go on kick-ass trips when we're, you know, when we're not having the kids. And I think I was focused, or intentionally focused, more on like, okay, well, this part will be okay, or this, you know.
Sure, yeah.
And I'm still doing that. Like, I think that I want to choose optimism and happiness. And I don't want to wallow in sadness. I don't think either one of us does.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But even in doing that, even in like purposefully trying to be like, okay, let's focus on the good. Like, I'm going to get out and do something outside mm-hmm. every day. Like, I'm not going to let myself sit here and just be miserable. There are some days where I'm just like, I'm miserable.
Yeah, no. And, I actually think that's one of the things that hopefully the podcast can do for people. Is I think we're hopefully maybe going to be one of those couples where people are like, well, Ryan and Anna got divorced and they're okay.
Yeah.
But it's still terrible.
Yeah.
And though all those people you were looking at who were like, oh, they're having like, yeah, I'm sure they're okay. But like, I'm sure it was awful. Awful.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just like awful.
And I have had people say that to me in real life. Like, mm-hmm. there's no way to do it so that it isn't just the worst.
Right.
Even if you hated your spouse, I feel like that's the thing too, is we have a lot of friends, or you hear stories of all these different scenarios. Like, you know, we hated each other by the end and it was awful.
Yes.
We still really liked each other. We just couldn't figure right. out how to make it work. And it was awful.
Yeah. It just seems like it's awful
yeah.
no matter what.
Yeah. But I will say, I do think that sometimes I'm also surprised by good days where I'm like, oh, this, like, yeah. look, I'm happy.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, we're happy. Everybody's okay. Yeah. We're laughing. We're having a great time. Yeah. Got a new house with a great view. Got a wildlife cam, y'all. We got a picture. Anna got a picture of a rabbit's ear, a nocturnal picture. So we really got that guy. It's great award-winning photography.
I do feel like, I mean, again, setting a low bar. I think because the last year has been so hard, like maybe one of the positive things to come out of it is it really doesn't take that much for me to be like, this is a good day.
Yeah, right. Like, oh, I had some cookies today. Yeah, oh, the sun is shining. Yeah. Yeah, you really, again, low bar. Back, it all goes back to low bars.
Yeah.
I like
and
it.
I mean, really, like I remember back in the thick of things when we were like, let's just try to have a day where neither one of us cries. Yeah. Like one day.
Yeah. And sometimes we made that goal and sometimes we didn't make that goal. Yeah. So, but yeah, we're really going on like a whole week, I think, where nobody's cried.
I think possibly so.
Yeah. We're getting close. Yeah. So if not there. So that's big.
But I didn't.
You didn't quite start crying.
The tears
now.
Didn't
you teared
spill.
Up a little.
I teared
yeah.
up.
Yeah.
Took a sip of my water. All
right. Calmed yourself down. Collected
put it back
yourself.
Together.
Some people have been demanding more emotions and less jokes
well,
from
there
this podcast,
it was.
Though. So
I
there,
almost
there
lost
it happened.
It, but you have another one?
Yeah. All right. So I have another thing that I think we did right because I'm totally all about how great we are.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you'll totally agree with this one is I think we have done a great job of not pitting the kids against the other person.
I have my yeah. first thing is genuinely putting the kids first.
Right. And you know, I can't remember, I'm not saying that I've been perfect, but I can't remember saying anything negative about you.
I actually don't think either one of us has
yeah.
said a single negative thing.
Right. Cause I want you to have a good relationship with them. As we've talked about, there are ways even in which, because we each independently spend more time with them, that it kind of sort of helps
yes.
our individual relationships with the kids. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So I want you to have a good relationship with the kids. I don't want them to feel like they're in the middle. That seems to be the major advice
mm-hmm.
that people consistently give. And I think that's probably the only thing that I feel like is certain is like, if you can, you know, obviously people are in situations where one spouse is dangerous or
yeah,
whatever, but
of
if,
course.
If you can, you know, trying to not pit the kids against the other person,
mm-hmm.
I think is probably the most reliably sound thing you can do in this situation.
Yeah. And I think, I mean, we would probably both agree that there have been situations where we had to put our own feelings aside or wants or needs to do that. Like nights when they want to do a family dinner and we
right,
probably
we're mad
would
at each
prefer
other.
Not
yes.
to. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Like there's definitely been some awkward family dinners.
Sure. Yeah. But there were some awkward family dinners before we got
for sure.
divorced too, before we split up.
Yeah. And I think you also learn, I've been surprised a little bit by ways in which they've been oblivious,
mm-hmm.
but then also ways in which they've been really in tune with stuff.
Sure. Right. And can really figure out like, oh, you're not getting along or you're upset, you know?
Yeah.
Like, and I do, I think I will be the first to say, despite the positivity of my list, I have made a lot of mistakes in this process.
I can confirm
yes,
that.
Yes, a lot of mistakes. But I don't think many of them have had all that much to do with the way that we've handled the kids.
I honestly
on
don't
side.
Think any of
yeah.
it. Like, I mean, we're not perfect parents or anything, but I...
Oh, I am.
Well, I am too.
Yeah.
I mean, actually...
So we take that back. We are perfect
yeah.
parents. Yeah.
I do feel like maybe there, again, there's so much that feels chaotic and up in the air and very like... We've both said at times, like, I just don't feel like myself.
Yes.
But I think that the good thing about having kids is, like, it does give you something external where you can be like, okay, I know I love you.
Right.
Like, let me just focus on making this okay.
Right. And I know I have to be a parent today.
Yeah.
And I know, that, you know, it gives you a priority that is not going
to
waver.
And I think even, like, we're both good at that. Like, it would be really tempting to to fuck up and drink too much or like make bad choices
mm-hmm.
that could impact the kids. And I feel like we've both been good about waiting until the kids are out of the house to do that.
Sure.
Stuff.
Right. I was going to say, I've made a lot of bad choices,
yeah.
but none of them seem to have directly impacted the kids.
Yeah.
Yeah. A lot of terrible choices just away from view
yeah, sure.
of the children, which is basically the same as not making them
yeah.
at all.
Yeah. Out of sight, out of mind.
Yeah. They don't know.
Out of sight. Didn't happen.
All right. What do you got for us?
I will say one thing that I think we didn't do well,
uh-huh.
and this, actually I have two bullet points under this,
okay,
and I think they're related to each other, so I'll just do both of them. I think we told too many people early on, and I think throughout this process, although increasingly or more at the beginning than now, I have felt like I owed people too much of an explanation.
Yeah.
And I don't think that I do. And I, again, at this point, I feel very comfortable in people knowing what they know, and we have to be okay with that. And I don't really feel like I owe anyone an explanation for anything.
Yeah, no, I agree with all of that. In fact, I almost put that on my list, but I was like, well, we are podcasting our separation.
Yeah,
so.
But I think that's actually, I was thinking about that. And I think that's a really good example, because this is something that we both want to do.
Right.
We're actually not doing it, sorry guys, because we feel like we owe you anything. Like, we both
said.
Yeah,
fuck y'all.
We were
except
like,
Miki.
I think
Miki needs to know
Miki.
How terrible we are. She really deserves that.
I think we're doing this for ourselves,
right?
Selfishly.
Yeah. It's a way, yeah, this is we're all just using you as like invisible armchair therapists to listen to us work through our traumas.
We saw, like, we podcasted Clayton's season and Michelle's season completely separated.
Right.
We could have done it.
Yeah.
It would have felt disingenuous.
Yeah, we could have continued to ride out this lie that we were passionately in love with one another.
Well, yeah, I mean, but that's the thing, is I feel like because our dynamic is one that's kind of like contentious, and we love to spar.
Oh, yeah. It's a lot of back and forth.
I don't think that it would have been that much of a stretch to just really not mention
sure.
the fact that
yeah.
we weren't married anymore.
Yeah.
So really, I don't think that we are doing this podcast because we feel like we owe anyone anything. I think we want to. And I think the difference to me is, like, back in the fall, I felt a strong sense of panic. And
yes.
I think for me, I didn't want anyone to find out and me not know that. So I felt like kind of
ran our mouths.
Yeah.
Well, and we were just sort of in shock. Like, sort of the best analogy I can come up with is like in a movie when like a car bomb goes off
mm-hmm.
and you like can't hear and you're like, what happened? Like mm-hmm. your ears are ringing and like, you're just like, what happened? Like, mm-hmm. I feel like that's what it felt like for a while.
Yeah.
And so you just didn't have your bearings, and it's like, a car just exploded, everyone, a car exploded,
yeah.
you know, just like yelling
it
through the neighborhood.
Yeah.
yeah. And we kind of learned to manage that a little bit
yeah.
better.
Yeah. And
I agree with.
Like, there were reasons for, like, of course we're going to tell our close friends.
Right.
And of course we're going to tell our family.
Eventually.
Yeah. I mean, that's the thing. I feel like when you tell people, you then are kind of inviting them to do what they want to do with that information.
Right.
And
or giving them a window into, you know, suggesting that maybe you want some input
yeah,
on the situation.
Right.
Yeah, which we do not.
No. No, neither then nor now.
Yeah, so we're not actually looking for any advice at all. We are giving the advice. We are not seeking advice.
We're the experts here.
9 months of separation later and no special qualifications in human psychology or marriage. We're the experts.
We've got it. We are experts in the same sense that Nick Viall is a therapist.
We really ought to put like that Beautiful Conversations with Anonymous Strangers podcast has that warning at the beginning that's like, this guy is not a therapist. I feel like we need to do the same thing. We are not therapists.
Come on. You're a doctor.
Do not listen to our advice. Or take it for what it's worth.
Yeah,
two idiots.
I mean, that's it.
Two idiots who kind of sort of know what they're doing.
We're experts in the same sense that Dax Shepard is.
Exactly. We are literal armchair experts. Well, actually, we're not. The chairs we're sitting in don't have arms.
God,
but
damn it, these
otherwise.
Chairs.
Oh, yeah, God, that's a whole nother thing. We just have a whole rant about how these chairs haven't gotten delivered yet.
Hate these fucking chairs,
yeah.
Jackie. I know you're listening. But no, there were repercussions, I think, because then the next time when the January rolled around and we separated again, we were like, we're not telling anybody. And we really didn't. I mean, I
yeah.
feel like you had a handful of friends that you told. I had the same,
mm-hmm.
but that was it.
Right.
We didn't tell any family.
Eventually they know now.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Just
course.
To be clear,
we told
again.
Them.
Yeah.
So that was January.
We sent them this podcast.
Yeah. We dropped it in their emails. No, we told them in April. So
yeah, that's right.
It was only a few months, but I definitely. So I feel like the fallout from that was that time people were like, "What?"
Yeah.
But then we, I think, felt much more settled in our decision.
Correct.
Because we had
yeah.
had 3 months where we really worked through a lot of shit.
Uh-huh.
So
and
by
we
the time we told
to
people,
of,
we were like, yeah, like this, it's okay.
It'll be like it was because we've been separated and you've been watching yeah. this whole thing unfold.
You haven't known.
Well, and we were saying, I mean, there are people that we work with that if we didn't say anything, wouldn't know for years.
I feel like we were separated. I mean, honestly, we could have just run this as a long con.
Oh, yeah,
like,
forever.
We could have gone home for Christmas and Easter.
Yeah.
My family might have been a little trickier just because we see them more.
Sure, yeah.
But even then, I feel like we could have done this forever and no one would have been the
no
wiser.
No one would have noticed.
The kids would have spilled eventually.
People would have noticed that I wasn't calling you baby anymore.
Yeah.
Though I could have put that on.
Yeah.
For, you know, could have slid back into that role. Yeah, it's just really
convincing. That's the one thing.
That's the one thing. Well, and we were always, you know, just making out in front of our families and everything.
Where's the raw sexual energy that they used to bring to family functions?
That they used to bring to Christmas morning. All right, so one of the things that I think we did either wrong or maybe just imperfectly was not setting super, super clear boundaries.
There we go.
Things.
Ooh, we need boundaries.
No, I feel like you actually suffered from this more than me. Like I feel like I was the one who was sort of like, oh, that upsets you. Like I should have just figured that out, but I didn't.
Yeah.
You know, like I think there was a lot of like, well, I assume that the other person will assume that this is a hurtful thing to do. So they're just not going to do it.
Yeah.
Instead of being like, hey, don't do this.
This is hurtful.
Yes, I don't want you to do this. And of course, you can't like predict every single thing. Like some of these conflicts have been like, well, I never would have known to specifically tell you not to do X, Y, and Z because that never would have even occurred to me as a situation, like as a scenario. But I think the less we can assume like, okay, Anna or Ryan is going to know that this is a boundary that I don't want crossed and not cross it, the better off we are.
I agree with that. And I think, I mean, not surprisingly, I don't think you'll mind me saying, I feel like that's come into play a little bit more with like dating. And,
oh, sure. Yeah, with other people.
Yeah.
Like, and
I think when it's, we often say, when it's just the two of us, but that's another thing. Because I was going to say, like, we know our dynamic, but the dynamic between us has changed
it
too.
Has. Yeah.
But inherently, I think things are easier when it's just us dealing with each other versus other people, whether it's dating or, I mean, other things like
friends, family
members.
Yep, sure. Yeah. Well, and it's just sort of things like, you know, sort of abstract examples would be things like, well, what can and can't you do when you are separated but living in the same house?
Yeah.
You know, what can and can't you spend money on from a joint bank account?
Yeah.
You know, like that sort of thing where it's like, you never think about that stuff. There's no real guide for that. And you just kind of have to feel it out. And I think we've done a good job of after the fact being like, oh, this was a mistake.
Yeah.
This is the boundary that we need to make instead. Mm-hmm. But it's just really hard to do that.
It is hard. And I think it's hard for a couple of reasons. One, again, we are kind of renegotiating the terms of what our relationship is going to be with each other. And two, that relationship needs to be different.
Right. Well, and it's hard because there's so much we value about our relationship now, especially now that we've taken a bunch of stuff off the table that wasn't working.
Yeah.
That it's hard to be like, oh, this relationship is different. Maybe we can't talk about the same things we used to talk about.
I was going to say, I think that's kind of where I struggle because when you start talking about boundaries, I've said this to you, but like one of my big fears is that eventually we're just not going to be as close, which is true.
Right.
Like, I think that is going to happen.
Right.
But I don't want it to happen.
I don't want it to happen either. But I think we've seen how the lack of kind of very clear delineations about particular things has caused a lot of conflict.
Yes. Yeah. And I think, I mean, it's again, two different personalities, because I think your personality is the type to then want to say, well, let's set these boundaries in place, almost like as a
a
preeminent boundary for like, well, I could foresee this happening.
Right.
So
in
let's
10
just,
years, we might have a situation where our family's on vacation with your family, you know, just like, I do spill into the like over planning.
Right.
The,
like this could
boundaries.
Be a boundary that we need. I mean, I'll use the obvious example, which is like when one of us is in a really serious relationship with someone else. And that is one approach. And then my approach is like, well, neither of us is. So why are we even talking about this now? And I think the correct thing is probably somewhere in the middle.
Right.
Of like,
those things. Yeah.
I need to be more aware that is going to happen and that we can take small steps so that it isn't a huge change when that does become an issue. But I also think that you can work on maybe not planning for things.
Sure. Planning, maybe not catastrophizing, which I am wont to do.
You're assuming that you're going to have a girlfriend.
Well, I was about to say, actually, Miki will tell you that we're both uggos and that everyone should run from us on the dating apps and otherwise. So we just may not have to deal with this problem of another serious relationship on either end.
Yeah, correct.
But yeah, I think that was, well, that has been one of the biggest learning processes is figuring out kind of what the lines are. And as you said, they've been shifting. They're different now than they were 3 months ago.
Definitely.
They'll be different 3 months from now again. So
I think that's my thing too, of like, let's just roll with it and see what we need to do as it comes, because a boundary that we set today might be completely obsolete in 4 months.
Sure. You know? I think my thing is more that we need to have open communication.
Yeah. Instead of just getting mad.
Instead of just getting mad. Yes.
Yeah. Which I think that we've done a pretty good job.
We have done a pretty good job of that.
I feel like my initial instinct is always to get mad, but I think I've gotten better about maybe still getting mad, but then more quickly being like, okay, let's talk about this.
Sure. And I have had some instances too where I have gotten mad about stuff where you were like, well, that I didn't see this as a violation of any kind of agreement that we had.
Yeah.
You know, and we're sort of surprised that something made me mad.
Right. Like, so, tell me.
If, yeah.
Yeah.
Which I did.
Ooh, yeah. Yeah. I've heard.
Quite loudly. All right. So what do you got for us? You got one more for us?
I will give one more things we did well.
Oh, good. Yeah.
I think one of the things that we're doing well that has taken a while, but I actually feel like it's been our approach the whole time, is being okay with what works for us, not looking normal to a lot of people.
Yeah, no, I completely agree with that. And that has not always been a strength of mine.
Or mine either. Yeah. Like, I feel like as much as I like to just be an asshole and be like, I don't care what anybody says. I really, really do.
We very deeply care what other people think about us.
Yeah. So I agree with you. It's been surprising to me how much I've been able to just be like, I don't care if you don't care. If you don't like this, if you think it's weird, I don't give a shit.
Yeah, it's not your problem.
Yeah.
Yeah. And no, I completely agree. I think that we've done a good job of not letting other people's opinions interfere with what we want to do for the most part. I think 90% of the time we're doing that well. And I think that we can even kind of calibrate when we do that, like, come back and be like, no, we don't need to, that doesn't matter. That person's feedback doesn't matter.
I feel
matter
like you've
this.
Had to point that out to me, like, because I have gotten upset before at comments that have been made, or, you know, being nervous about going into a situation where I feel like people are going to be talking about me, or some people might know things that are going on. Some people might think they know, but it's inaccurate.
But they're foolish.
Yeah. And you've said, like, don't worry about it. Like, you can't worry about that. You just need to go into that situation and be yourself and, you know, do you. And whatever other people think, that's what they're going to think.
Right, right. We're going to do what we're going to do. We're going to do what's best for the kids and each other and anybody else, you know, other than our 800 or so listeners whose opinions we value deeply.
Well, I mean, I said that basically. I had a acquaintance text me after the Facebook post, and she said, you know, like, I had no idea that this was going on. I'm like, I'm thinking about you. I'm really sorry. And I said, I'm in a good place with the handful of people that matter the most to me. And like, I'm fine.
Right. Yeah.
You
that's
know,
it. Yeah.
Like, I feel like I would be very upset if I felt like you and I were out of sorts, if I felt like the kids were really distraught.
Right.
But beyond that, I don't really give a shit.
Well, I would be really upset if Miki started liking us. That's... I mean, that would throw my whole world
off kilter.
I mean,
that was the list.
Yeah,
Ryan,
right.
Ryan, our two children, Miki.
Those people. Those are the ones who I care about.
Yeah.
And Carly from The Bachelorette, because, you know, I'm going to need to meet her.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm going
to... I'm going to need to bang.
I'm going to need to meet her. What is that thing
wife?
Called? Spur?
Stir.
Stir.
Yeah, spur.
Spur. It's called spur. Yeah, it's for single
spurt.
Cowboy parents. Spurt. It's the new hookup app. Spurt.
I would go on a dating app for single cowboys.
I bet you would.
Not parents. Yeah, right. Still don't
just
want
single
that.
Cowboys. Yeah. Well, they have that. I mean, there is a cowboy dating app.
Is there?
Well, there's a farmer one, but I'm pretty sure there's a cowboy one,
I know
one
there's
too.
A farmer one.
I think here's my... I'm going to make a bold claim about this cowboy app.
Okay.
There's going to be a lot of fucking posers on this cowboy dating app.
No.
Yes, I think there's going to be a lot of dudes who put a cowboy hat on and are like, hey, I'm on the cowboy app,
here
y'all.
I am,
yeah.
On the range.
I'm roping and riding. Who, like, cannot fucking ride a horse, who could not hog tie anything.
Just eating some beans. Yep. Around the old
on the
campfire.
Old trail. Why don't you and I
trail.
Take a roll in the hay?
Save a horse, ride a cowboy. Fun fact, Ryan loves that song.
You know,
I feel like you
love
to reference that song.
I do. It's a great song to reference. And it's actually not a terrible song. It, I mean, I'm not going to go to bat for it, but I don't think it's a terrible
okay.
song.
Okay.
Podcast is a part of the C-Suite Radio Network. For more top business podcasts, visit c-suiteradio.com.